everybody. Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk to you about, I forgot the name of the app. Traitor?
I think Traitor.
Traitor. Traitor.
Traitor. Traitor. Okay.
I clipped all over.
Got there.
Sorry, Traitor.
Yeah, we're going to continue talking about this episode. Some more wild stuff happens. And by that, I mean, can you believe the whole thing with Papa Legba was like not the wild part of this episode? What a time to be alive. And I'm joined as always by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey, team.
Hello. I don't blame you for forgetting the name of this episode because like the titular traitor of the episode has not actually appeared yet in what we've talked about, and once they do show up, it's wildly confusing as to why we are supposed to think that that character is a traitor to literally anybody by definition.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'll be real. I'd completely forgotten why this episode was called Traitor until you started saying all that.
I did too, until the end when one of the main characters goes, "You have to find that traitor," and I'm like, "But they're not a traitor to anybody. You have to have like an allegiance to someone to." Okay.
Good enough.
Anyway, back to the television show.
So we left y'all off with Papa Legba getting turned down and Dinah being like, he only offers the deal once. He'll never offer it again, immediately after he had just offered her a deal again. So Cordelia now thinks she has doomed everybody, which is like just bad, bad OPSEC on everybody's part. Not a great discussion. Not a lot of teamwork happening. Yeah.
Also, I have to be real. Like, the thing is, like, Dinah was like, that way you should have just, because what he wanted was, he made Nan appear, who was the mind reader from season 3. And Nan was like, it kicks ass that you guys sold me to Papa Legba or whatever. I love it, and he's my best friend, and it's so awesome to hang out with him. It's so cool. And then Papa Legba's like, yeah, Nan is also my best friend, and I love Nan, and she's my special little lady. In fact, it kicks so much ass, I would love for you to let me have the rest of your witches because I'm having such a great time with Nan. I think it would be sick as hell to hang out with the rest of your witches, which I think that he would very quickly not like. But like, why does she immediately shoots this down? Cordelia is like, no, you can't have my babies. And I'm like, why? It seems like Nan's having like a sick ass time.
So, like, I was gonna say, like, frankly, this is just downside for Papa Legba because he just doesn't realize he rolled like the super special rare of like Nan, who's just like fun and kicks ass, and not the rest of them. Not like Madison, who would be a huge pain in the nuts every day.
Can I be a little fair though? It's like, if some demon lord brings back this like ghost person, you're like, hey, I had one of your friends in hell, and your friend's like, I love hell. I mean, you would probably be like, I don't know, this is still coming like by proxy from a demon lord. Maybe hell isn't so great, you know? I don't know. It's just weird, but like, I know because the show's not that clever, like, you can just take what she says at face value and all that, but still, I don't know.
Yeah, I think what the show wants us to think is like, oh no, hell actually still sucks. Nan's just like a little bit nasty. And I'm like, she didn't really show any proclivity for being like rude and nasty in season 3. She's just a little lady.
Right.
It's also just very undercut by the fact that Dinah just hits her with like a don't be a fool while like, it like every like half second switching between nodding her head up and down and shaking her head left and right while just being like, don't be a fool. And it's just like, what do you mean don't be a fool? Should I do it? Should I not do it? I don't know what that means.
You like, should absolutely not, don't, never, always, sometimes think about not always doing it.
And there's no reason for her to like be tricking Cordelia here because they have the same goal, aka we're all gonna die in a nuclear apocalypse if you don't, you know, get this right. So here's everything I think he might ask for. I really want to prep you for whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
also,
but
it doesn't seem like she's like on tumultuous ground with Papa Legba either. Cause like Papa Legba shows up and he's like, hey, still not taking my fucking deal, huh? And she's like, still not taking your deal. He's like, it's fine. You got the good rum and the good smokes. We're good. Like, it doesn't seem like he's like particularly like he was gonna snap at her. Like, it seems like she summoned him and he was just like, what's good?
Yeah.
Yeah. He also got some rum out of it.
But he can't get that. You know what I mean? Like, that's not that hard to get. Like, the whole baby thing, like, all right, fine, I get it, and you probably want someone else to sin, but, or whatever, but, like, this one's like, you go to a liquor store, and that's, like, most of your prep to call Papa Legba.
Don't tell him about liquor stores. He doesn't know about them. That's the only way we've been able to keep him under wraps.
Yeah, he still thinks we're in the Prohibition, so he thinks it's, like, really hard and risky to get alcohol. He's going to start asking for Coke, if you let him know.
Yeah, he's going to work his way up to, like, meth until it's, like, something really, really hard to get.
What is
he's
going to
be like, I need a rare strain of crocodile from the basement of a Russian man. And it's like, oh, crap.
You need to get me, like, crypto because I found out about the dark web and, you know.
Oh, get me one Bitcoin.
I need an ape. I
need an NFT. Getting Papa Legba here by using an NFT.
Ooh, this is a delicious ape.
You need one ape? No, all of them.
I need all the apes.
He just shows up in the middle of the night crying, Cordelia. They saved my image. You told me they could not do that.
Delia, my apes. Well,
Seth Wogan's ape is now mine.
So after that exchange, they go back to the witch's house, Miss Robichaud's school for the technically gifted or whatever. So Mallory's talking to Queenie and Zoe and kind of goes like, oh, what's the new Supreme like? You know, what's the deal? And then Queenie is just like, he's not the Supreme yet. And like, yeah, it won't. Of course it won't. And then they have the exchange of, and I can't, who was asking about this? This is like, I can't even remember this. Of
Mallory, I think, it, right?
Asking when he becomes the next Mallory. Supreme. Who's
Mallory.
The one?
Cause,
yeah, because it's like she
Mallory
doesn't know.
Mallory was asking, right, because she doesn't know all the rules because she wasn't part of the last season. Yet.
Right, yeah.
And she just goes like, hey, when does he become the Supreme after all? And she's like, oh, it doesn't happen until Cordelia dies, which is like, especially since obviously the implication is that like, oh, there's a good chance Mallory's going to be the next Supreme or whatever. We've been leading into it with her just randomly creating butterflies, things of this nature. Mm-hmm. So it's like really rude to be like, if you become the next Supreme, it's because Cordelia dies. It's your fault. Like to some degree.
Yeah. Also, that feels like important information that you should like front load to new witches. It's like, hey, yeah. This is the Supreme situation. And also when a new one shows up, the old one dies. Usually it happens when the Supreme is like 90. But for some reason for Cordelia, it appears to be happening when she's like 45-ish, maybe? Like, it's happening really early, which feels like a thing you'd really want to like investigate, you know? Because I can't imagine, I don't know. It doesn't explain this. It doesn't explain why she's going through it so quickly.
Also, like, is there ever a case where, like, one Supreme's found and then, like, a week later the next one is? Like, is that a bad use case to watch out for? Or?
That's the thing that's confusing. It was confusing in season 3 also because it was like, oh, you'll know that another Supreme is showing up because the old one starts dying. And I guess the argument was with Fiona, it was a bit different because Fiona was doing everything in her power to not die. Like, she was, like, literally, like, getting exorbitant amounts of money to get, like, special surgeries that weren't even FDA approved to like try and make her not die.
Right.
And she was fighting the inevitable. So like maybe she specifically was like a bad tell because it would be hard to tell when a new Supreme was like taking root, I guess. But with this one, you'd think you'd know right away. Like as soon as Delia was like, oh, I've got the belly rotting disease or whatever she has on her stomach that we saw a few episodes ago.
That's the thing too, is it's like, it feels like with Fiona, it was like insidious, hard to notice things. Like she had, you know, like organ cancers, things right. of yeah. this nature that were like, yeah, she's dying, but she can, you know, put on a front or whatever. Cordelia's got like a hole in her. Like there's a hole where she should have not a hole.
Yeah.
It's like so bad too. Like it's like yeah, like literally it was like her stomach has rotted out from the middle, and like I don't know, man. I was only a medical engineer, not a doctor, but like I'm pretty sure you need some of that.
Do you think her doctor knows and just like, so, new Supreme yet? Or are you just yeah. like, no, this is, I'm just really not feeling well. Like, oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, because I think if I remember correctly, in episode one of season three, like, I think that the doctor who's talking to Fiona is, like, aware that she does, like, magic and shit. Like, I think the doctor's like, no. You'd think that, like, especially now that, like, Cordelia told the entire world that magic and witches are real, that like there's no reason yeah. not to, you know, they say like never lie to a paramedic or to a doctor. That feels like something that you would also do with like magic related things of like, hey doc, just FYI, my organ yeah. cancer, that might be magic related, so just keep that in mind when doing your tests or whatever. You know, just keep that in your chart right. or whatever. Yeah, it's strange. But, like, that's the thing is, like, as soon as she started having, like, my stomach's falling out disease, I would think that the first thing you'd start doing is, like, looking for, like, who is getting new powers? Because apparently, like, it's like going through puberty as a witch. You just start getting new powers. So you'd think that you'd start testing people right away because it's like, oh, that means somebody's going to be the new Supreme. But the thing is, they've built this, like, rule into their universe of, like, Highlander rules of, like, when one when one Supreme right. dies, a new Supreme is coming into fruition. But, like, they didn't bother to flesh out, like, is it random? Is it always at a set point? Like, does something trigger it? Like, is it always like kind of the same age where the next person starts to get there? Because then you could start narrowing down like demographics of witches. Like, oh, this person's too old to be the next Supreme, or oh, this person probably isn't because they're still really young, and the, you know, the Supreme that is currently alive like, is already dying.
You could also just be like, hey, can anyone here cast a fireball?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Come forward. Nice fireball. All right, the rest of you, you can take the week off. We're going to talk to the fireball children.
Yeah.
We're going to see which one of them got some new stuff.
It's also really confusing because, like, the thing is, a lot of the, especially we saw in season three, which we see in this season also, because they're so inconsistent with their rules, that it's not even a matter of like, oh, only one person will start developing all of the fucking powers. In season three, like all of the witches started getting most of the seven wonders when Fiona started dying. Well, and it's like, is that coincidental, or could every witch just do the seven wonders? It's just whoever gets it first is the Supreme.
The problem is they tried to make it like Survivor or something, you know what I mean? Or like a reality show in a way where like they were getting eliminated when they couldn't, or dying, or they couldn't do the tests. And that whole aspect of it really just messes with the rules, because then it's like, so all of them can be the Supreme, or one of the, or you know what I mean? And it's like, no, it's only one, but then why are you like sending them to hell and shit just to test? But whatever, I guess, you
yeah.
know?
That would be my thing, is I'd be like, okay, well, whoever is showing the most progress, like, periodically, like, every couple of hours or every couple of days or whatever, we check to see if they've got the ones that they don't have yet on their bingo card, and then, right. like, keep, like, a sheet on the wall with, like, stickers so that we can tell who's progressing the fastest.
like Girl Scout badges, but for, like, magic, is that, like, yeah. kind of...
But that's what's so, like, fucking baffling about season three, and then they didn't bother, like, making it make more sense in this season, even though it's basically Coven 2, is, like, well, it kind of seemed like when they were explaining the rules that, like, the witches that were showing signs of having the magic that does the seven wonders, like, were kind of rare. Because if everybody has them, how the fuck do you know which one is, like, next in line to be the Supreme? If they all get the seven wonders, then that's not a very good indicator of who's going to be the Supreme, because everybody fucking gets them, apparently. Like, what if you just missed one? What if a witch was having an off day and she just beefed, like, teleportation or something?
Also, like, the most annoying addition there is what we're about to get to, which is they decide the thing that means the next Supreme is going to be probably the next Supreme is one of the powers not involved in the wonders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they did that last time, too, with Misty Day. They're like, oh, Misty Day can do Louisiana mud magic. That means she's going to be the next Supreme. I'm like, I don't remember Louisiana mud magic being in the Seven Wonders test. frankly. I don't remember that being listed as one of the seven wonders. Damn, pretty narrow. Pretty narrow yeah. list of people who can do that, I think.
And speaking of powers not on the list of the seven wonders, Coco time.
Right. Let's see. What is
Sorry, I've got a tab pop-up word. Coco comes downstairs afterwards and goes, hey, we got a new power. You're not going to believe it, everybody. Gather around. Check this out. I know how many calories things have. And it's like... stupid. We waste time with this. I don't even feel like we need to go into it.
One thing about it, which bugs me, which is when she does it, they try to make it like creepy. I guess to be funny, but it's like that. Like if you've ever seen Ju-on The Grudge or whatever, it's kind of like that throat sound, like that kind of thing, but lower and stupider. And then she's like 60 calories, and it's like. It's not funny. It's not anything. Like, just stop it. You know, so whatever.
My biggest thing about this whole sequence, because they're like, oh, she can tell how many calories are in food. I'm like, I have a lot of problems with this. First being, without going into it, like, too much and, like, having my specific brand of neurodivergence about this, labels like, listings of how many calories are in something...
often very inaccurate.
...are almost... always inaccurate by a pretty significant margin. Yeah. There are so many various things that go into like what actually like creates the caloric density of a food, and they only have to be like within like 80% or some shit of like accuracy on the packaging. Yeah. Like if you have like 12 muffins, all 12 of them are going to have different calorie counts regardless of what it says on the package.
Yeah.
And like the only way you really get around that is like raw ingredients that are weighed individually, right? As opposed to like, you know, for example, like a Hostess baked good or whatever, which probably not going to be exactly according to the label. Well, anyway, what they do is she does the grudge throat noise, says the calories, and then they look it up on the phone app and go, oh, it's the same as the label, which as Liz has helpfully highlighted, is nothing. That's a useless... it's literally useless because, A, it's wrong. B, the wrong information you're getting is already on the item. It's already there.
That's what I'm saying. Got it. Like, she's like, oh, I can use this to help people, like, lose weight. I'm like, but they could just read the label. If it's one-to-one, if everything you're looking at has the exact same amount of calories as what's written on the label, then they don't need your power. They can just read the label.
Hey, they need literacy. Yeah.
Here's my pedantic thing on it. Well, like, why only food, though? Right? Because you're really gonna, are you talking about the caloric energy of, like, matter? Like, can you actually tell, like, I don't know, like, that oil is sure, like, a lot of energy in it or something. You know what I mean? Is it, like, none of them even point that out?
So we could, like, have her find oil deposits by just having her stand in a field and be like, look for the highest caloric density.
Yeah, or like
you're not wrong either. That's the thing. Like, you make a good point.
And, like, the thing
They should have her do that.
And I could get Coco not putting that together, but not one of them is like, wait, have you tried this on not food? You know what I mean? Like, just to see what would happen. But they're all like, ah! Cool, calories, nice. And then, as if they all couldn't get any dumber. You know, she's getting tired, but then Queenie's like, let's do one more test on this snowball, meaning the Hostess pastry, you know? And it's like 80. Oh, so that can't be only 80 calories. And then Queenie turns around, she took a bite out of it, ha ha. And she makes a joke, I always forget I take a bite out of these things and I don't like them. And Coco goes, I don't have that problem, ha ha ha, and eats the rest of it and chokes and dies on it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So
hell yeah.
This is the part of the show where I went, oh, okay, so this is going to be someone else having a future sight of some variety. Like, this is too stupid. So this has to be either like a bad dream sequence or someone, you know, seeing the future for the first time so they can stop it from happening. Anything like that. I was like, this is so dumb. They're not just going to have Coco randomly die out of nowhere because she got too hyped up on a snowball. Well, dear viewers, they did.
Incredible. They did. Incredible. Like, even when Zoe telefragged herself on the fence, like, that was pretty dumb, too. But you could be like, all right, I guess, right? Like, she doesn't know how to teleport. But this is like, come on. Really? Like, we're doing this?
Chew, motherfucker. Chew your food.
The way that she plays it, too, is I thought she was having, like, an allergic reaction, which, like, the other thing is, does nobody at the witch house know the Heimlich maneuver? Nobody? None of
yeah,
you?
So, yeah, this is the thing, is she chokes, and everyone just kind of throws their hands in the air and goes, oh my god, what do we do?
Yeah.
She's choking, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck, and it's like, none of you have even in secondhand in media seen somebody do a Heimlich maneuver. Like, come on, it's not a hard thing to intuit. You grab them under the guts and you yoink the guts, and then it makes them go, huh. and it comes out, like...
Hey, you know what? Hey, you don't know the Heil maneuver? Hey, maybe Cordelia does. Maybe yell for help. Somebody, you know? But no, they're just like, ah! And then she actually dies, incredibly.
Like, immediately, she too. Does. She dies yeah. immediately. My other thing is, like, it's a host to Snowball. Like, those are, like, pretty malleable. Like, it'd be
yeah,
hard
actually.
To joke on what I think. It would be really,
actually,
really hard.
You make a good point. Yeah. Coco, what the fuck? How'd you choke to death on a snowball?
Half
That's
a snowball.
So embarrassing.
Half a snowball. It's not even a
Half
full
a
snowball.
Snowball.
Yeah, oh my god, you're right. She probably could have tried to, like, inhale or breathe really hard and been okay.
Like, one time
they
when
they
could
have just, like, karate chopped her in the throat
yeah.
and it would probably take care of the
a
problem.
A swift punch to the stomach. One time I had I was eating dinner with a bunch of friends and someone thought they were going to be funny. And I asked for a bite of their garlic bread, like, you know, like a slice of, like, Texas toast garlic bread. And they thought they yeah. would be funny, and they shoved the whole thing in my mouth. And that's a pretty big fucking piece of bread.
yeah.
Was it hard to eat and swallow it? Sure. I was never in danger of choking. I just want to throw that out there, that this is a skill issue for Coco, because, like, that's not even, like, a full bite of food. She basically swallowed a normal bite of food. She didn't, like, inhale it weird. She just ate half of a snowball,
Damn.
And they're like, that's enough to kill her, I think.
Rare to see somebody die on round one of Chubby Bunny, and yet here we are.
Yeah.
One marshmallow and she died. That's so fucked.
Incredibly, this idiotic scene is only to serve to show off, like, hey, Mallory, let's show your power again, because Mallory then, like, has, like, time go backwards, and then the, or, like, what does she do?
No,
she, like, has the
no,
snowball.
No, no,
no. What
no,
she does
no.
is
this
crazier
is a new,
than
yeah,
that.
This is a
she,
new power,
yeah,
actually.
She learns to do a key scalpel.
That's right. That's right. Yes, yes.
Yeah. So as fucking, as Coco's on the ground, just fully fucking dead, Mallory just goes down to her neck and goes, I know how to do surgery now. And everyone goes, huh? She just, like, gingerly traces her finger across Coco's throat, and it, like, slices it open as though it were a scalpel. She reaches in, grabs the half snowball, throws it to the side, and then just, like, heals it over. And then immediately Coco's like, huh? What the? What the heck?
I'm like,
it's so bad.
She does this power, and then, like, 2 seconds later, they're like, how did you know you could do that, Mallory? And she's like, I didn't. I just did what felt right. I'm like, what felt right was to do, like, a magic tracheotomy, not to, like, use magic. Like, I don't know, maybe your telekinesis that you all have to, like, remove the object from her throat. You didn't think to maybe do that? Yeah. Like, have you never seen someone, like, even pretend choking? It's like it's not... I think the takeaway here isn't that they don't know about the Heimlich maneuver. I think it's that somehow every single witch in this room does not know what choking is. They've never heard of it. They've never seen someone do it. They've never seen someone pretend to do it. They're just like, whoa, what's happening? I've never seen anyone do something like this. There's no possible way to stop this. It's game over.
It's like drowning in air. What the hell?
Is anyone seeing this? She just, like, fell over. She's not moving anymore. Is that good?
Sometimes that just happens. Sometimes witches just do that. They just fall over and then it's GG. It's crazy. And the thing is, she does not, I just want you guys to know, if you're not watching along, like, we're not joking. She does not do, in case you have forgotten, the thing that Mallory does that has made everybody up until now be like, whoa, is that she does basically the thing Aerie from My Hero Academia does and, like, rewinds time for living creatures so that they can undo whatever, like, bad shit happened to them.
And also just, like, imbues life into things. She took flower petals and just, like, turned them into butterflies, right? Like, so there's, like, a transmogrification with, like, a life element.
Mm-hmm. The time reversal thing that she's already been shown to do would have been infinitely easier and more practical than what she ends up doing to Coco with the tracheotomy thing, because she could just reverse time 30 seconds to when Coco didn't have a snowball lodged in her throat.
Cast and then, a spell of uneat snowball.
Yeah. And not incredible. Only would that still be the magic we've seen her do, but also it would have been infinitely easier than doing a tracheotomy, which isn't, in case you're wondering, isn't usually how they solve you choking on something.
Or like, one of the seven wonders, yeah, to be clear. This is also not one of the seven wonders, which is a thing that, you know, spoilers, they're going to be like, Mallory's probably the next Supreme. And they think that because she's done three things that are not one of the wonders.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Time to check in with Cordelia. Cordelia's back and she's dying again. It's yippee. Zoe helps her out of the bed and is like, here, I'll help you to your room so the other girls don't see. Which, like, everybody knows, right? Like, this isn't a... Again, everyone knows the Supreme mechanics. They know if there's a... Because it's not a... like a secret that there's a new Supreme. The secret is that they think it's the wrong guy right now, right?
Right,
like,
yeah.
But they do think there's a Supreme. So it's not like a surprising thing that she's dying. So Zoe helps her out. Zoe just, immediately goes, hey, I think Mallory is the next Supreme and not Michael, which is not... Again, yeah, as you pointed out here, Coco got a new power too. Why isn't that a Supreme tip off? Is it just like based on how cool you think they are? Because that's kind of bullshit. Who's the arbiter of that?
I gotta be fair though, Coco's power is pretty bad. I mean, you know.
I mean, Coco's power is dog shit, man. I'm doing devil's advocate.
I know.
I would like to throw in the emergency break for Coco's power because we're all shitting on Coco's power. By the time this episode is over, in roughly 15 minutes of this TV show, they're going to be like, oh, you know how Coco can use her ability to see the calories in something? That also means she's omnipotent and all-knowing. That's what that means. And so we're going to have her do something wildly out of her depth, and then the only justification in the show will be, well, she can see the calories and things, so that means she also checks notes, will know where every human being on Earth is at all times and where she can find them regardless of how much she knows about that person. So really what they're setting up here is Coco's omnipotent, which is fucking stupid. An insanely fucking stupid thing to do. Do I think they meant to do it? Absolutely not. Not even a little bit. But that is what they have done by being like, Coco can see the calories and in things, and also gluten. And then they will have a character say an extremely throwaway line of, well, that I think they already did, actually. It was a few episodes ago of, oh, it's not useless, Coco. It means that you can sense where the danger is.
Danger.
Yeah. Cordelia
which is
says
fucking
that.
Nothing. It's fucking nothing for no one, but they're going to use it for the most bullshit justification of deus ex thing in the world.
She has an omniscience detector for dangerous things. She's got long range spider sense, which, like, sure, man, fucking why not? So either way, after they have the whole, like, hey, Mallory's probably the next Supreme, that we cut to the boys' school, and this is the most egregious day for night shot we've ever seen. You can tell that the ground was, like, full bright before they toned it down. It's rough stuff. rough stuff.
They couldn't film this at night. It's a still shot. They could have just taken a picture. They could have just taken a picture of the outside of the boys' school at night. Like, was that too hard? Like, why did they do this over and over again? It's not even a scene where anything happens. It's just to show us that we're now at the boys' school. It doesn't even need to be nighttime, technically. Like, And they love it. They love these day into night shots, and they look so bad every time they do it. I'm like, do they not let you film at night if you work on American Horror Story? Is there like some kind of SAG thing you can't?
I was actually thinking that. I was thinking that maybe the unions that make you pay a little more if you're working like kind of off hours per se. So in order to like be like save money, you're like, oh, well, we'll just, you know, it's got to be horror because it's night. But also, and it's like, it looks terrible. Like, don't do this. But true. Too late, you know.
They don't do a lot of, now that I'm thinking about it, there aren't actually like, especially in like this season, there aren't a lot of like true nighttime like shots.
Here's the funny thing. Since it's based on the apocalypse and it takes place in a bunker, you'd think, oh, good, that works out. But since most of it actually doesn't take place in the bunker during the apocalypse, even though it's advertised as such and should be and is more interesting that way, you know, they don't. So, yeah, you end up strangely with this whole, like, yeah, well, you know, it has to be nighttime, I guess, because horror. But
you are so right.
Great news, everybody. It's time for Myrtle to be fucking annoying. Mm-hmm. So we cut into the boys' school, and for some goddamn reason, Myrtle brought her theremin over, and Bubbles is sitting on the couch hanging out as Myrtle is going, ooh, and Bubbles is just like, God, I'm gonna come. It's so stupid, dude.
It is true, though. And she's like, absolutely.
Like, that's what they're doing. Yep. She's literally just like, wow, you make me feel ways in my loins with this theremin. And it's like just a solo thing. The theremin is, I'm not here to shit on the theremin. The theremin is not a solo instrument. It makes one tone. It needs to be part of a group. Like, it's not a solo act.
You know what?
And yet.
Yeah. No, it's like, you can compliment the theremin, but like, oh my God, the theremin's gonna make her panties so wet. Like, does not fly. I'm sorry. It can't happen. Yeah. You know, it's just not.
Like, it's a nerd instrument at best. On right. its best day, it's like, yeah, I really liked when they used the theremin in Yes or like Rush. You know, it's not like a cool band.
Like, if you had fucking Elvira and were, like, in a script of, like, hey, can you make, like, a sex joke about the theremin? She'd be like, no, that doesn't even make sense. Get the fuck out of here. You know, like, come on. Like,
no. Get fucking out of my office.
Yeah, like, no witch is gonna be like, oh my God, I gotta masturbate right now. Like, this fucking theremin. Like, get the hell out of here.
It's bean flicking time, fellas. The theremin's hit the table.
Mallory, rewind time right after I orgasm. Just so I can keep doing it. Yes! Theremin, thank you. Like, it doesn't.
Oh yeah, no, not the magical gooning. We gotta get out of here. So they're down there hanging out, playing on the theremin. Ariel and Baldwin walk downstairs and are like, "What the fuck are you doing here?" And Myrtle's like, "I just wanted to say sorry that I said you couldn't have a boy supreme. I've decided you can have a boy supreme." And like, Ariel and Baldwin don't go, "No. Get out of here, man." They go, "Oh, of course. Yeah, no problem." She's like, "Oh, we're going to make you a great meal. Bubbles is an incredible cook." And it's like, "Oh, okay. Sure. Why not?" And the warlocks agree to it for no real reason. Myrtle and Bubbles just ask, "Hey, so where's that Michael Langdon kid anyway?" And they're like, "Oh, he went to Woods."
Yeah, he loved the woods.
He went to Woods. He just teleported to Woods.
Yeah.
To the woods with me. And then he was in Woods. And that's like all the explanation we get is that he just went to the woods.
Yep.
Sometimes you gotta spend. I mean, I get it. When I was like a kid and a teenager, I frequently would just like be like, going to the woods. And then I would go to the woods for like a couple of hours. And then I'd come back and be like, yep, I was in the woods for a few hours. I'm home now. I wasn't like the boy supreme or anything, though. I wasn't doing like supreme shit out there. I was just kind of climbing trees and whatnot. But I mean, maybe that's, you know,
yeah,
what? Maybe Michael wanted to do that. Maybe he wanted some whimsy. You know what? The warlocks do kind of suck. Maybe he just secretly wanted to get away from them, frankly.
I mean, he can go to hell whenever he wants, right?
I imagined it was like Michael Langdon like walks into the woods deep enough that he knows he's reached the evil part of the woods and goes, "Yo, demons, it's your boy." And then like the party starts up. Right? Like, they have to be into it. Like, "Demons of the woods, what's good?" And then they just break it down sexual style. Like, of course, you know, that's Michael Langdon's whole thing.
Yep.
He loves the woods.
So he's in woods. He left. He's out.
Yeah. We have like a little. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. Say, we have like a little silly aside where they're like, "I hope you like reds. I have here a bottle of Chateau Lafite that I got," which like. I have a personal experience with Chateau Lafite, which is not worth getting into, but I'll just say that it is the most pretentious fucking, like, bullshit expensive wine that, like, if you're gonna do a whole, like, BS, like, I know wine, like, Chateau Lafite is the go-to, you know what I mean? It's like, if you want to pretend that you know about wine and all this shit, and I'm not a wine connoisseur, I hate that shit, but I'm just saying, like, I met the most obnoxious person in my life talking up Chateau Lafite. And to the point where, like, they left it their decanter, and my friend and I were like, you want to try it? And you know what? Tastes like fucking wine. It doesn't taste like anything. Like, get the fuck out of here. It's like $500 yeah, a bottle, man. Or some shit, and it's nothing. Like, fuck it. Bullshit.
Reds especially are so guilty of that mm-hmm. shit. Like, I got people so mad at me when I was like, what's your favorite wine? I'm like, there's this one specific Malbec that's like a blend of like 12 other wines, and it's just great. And they're like, a blend, you animal. And you know what? They were fucking wrong. It was a really good blend. A smart guy put it together so it tastes good. Fuck them.
No. Mm-hmm. But
so they immediately pop off about how expensive the wine is, and while Myrtle's yapping on, Bubbles activates mind reader mode, and it's so funny because like there's no prompting for what the warlocks are about to think. Like, they're just having dinner with some slightly unpleasant women. Like, this is not the kind of thing that you would be thinking, because like. One of them's just like, God, I can't stand this fucking bitch. I hate this lady. Holy shit. And then the other one's just like, wow, I did a lot of murders recently. Here's a murder. Here's a list of them in order and what dates and times I did them.
He literally is like, golly, I sure love thinking about the murders and the crimes I've done. I sure hope no one's reading my mind right now.
Do you remember there's like a Simpsons episode where like they're doing the Twilight Zone thing and Homer's like about to kill Bart and he's like, don't think about killing him because he can read your thoughts. And it's like literally that. It's like, they haven't asked about my murder of John Henry yet, which is good. It's like, what the fuck are you doing, you idiot? They're witches too. Also, why did you agree to this if you hate them? You don't have to go out to dinner with them. You can say no. You know, like, who's like, oh, you got it. We got to entertain the witches. You know, you two do it. You know, like, it's not.
These are like the governing warlocks of like the warlocks. You'd think that they would be aware of mind reading. So like the two highest ranking warlocks probably wouldn't be like, golly, I'm going to think about how I'm going to murder these witches. Yay, I love murdering, and I'm going to murder these ladies as soon as I can. Like, you think they'd be like, I'm going to keep it under wraps. I got to keep this shit together.
Or wait, listen to this trick, though, if you really think about it, right? It's like, hey, listen, I know I said it's bullshit that your, like, male warlock's gonna be the next supreme, but I feel bad now. How about you have, like, a nice dinner that I'll make for you with this expensive bullshit wine, and also, here's a new witch you haven't met before. She's just gonna sit in on the dinner for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, none of you suspect anything?
She's definitely, we didn't bring her for any nefarious purposes. She's just, she just really wanted to see the boys' school. She just really was into
it. She's the cook. They brought her because she's so good at cooking. Don't question any of this. It's fine. The witches definitely don't have access to, like, Bobby Flay.
Yeah.
Now, whatever you do, don't think about secrets about Michael. Just want to put that out there. Anyway, here's some wine. Like, what the fuck?
Like, that's my thing is, like, with as bad as these dudes hate the witches, and they fucking loathe the witches, when you hate someone with that much fervor, when you, like, loathe someone to that degree, you know everything about them. Like, you know your ops better than you know your friends. So there's, like, a 0% chance that these men would not know the powers of every single witch in Miss Robichaud's house to know what they were going up against, especially like Cordelia or like her right-hand people, like Myrtle, for example, or any of these other witches that had been around a very long time, like Bubbles. They would absolutely be keeping tabs on that shit if they were real haters. So that leads me to believe that they're fucking fake haters.
I know, right? Because wouldn't the first thing you bring up be like, so is Coco okay after choking to death on a snowball, you idiots? Like, you know, I would bring that shit up right away.
Oh, my God.
But they know nothing.
Yeah.
God damn it.
It's so cool. But they drink the wine. That's the other thing is if you fucking hate them, if they're your ops, you don't drink the wine that they offer you, even if they say that it's really expensive wine. That's like enemy 101. When you have a nemesis and they pour you a drink, have you never seen The Princess Bride? Like whenever your enemy pours you a drink, you don't drink it.
Liz, I've got a fucking banger cask of Amontillado.
I was gonna say,
you gotta come down and check this shit out. You gotta grab a drink of this shit. Yeah. You're gonna love it, gamer. No, no, no. Come on, no, you can't say no to the Amontillado, bro.
Oh my God!
I am glad you beat me to that because I would have butchered the pronunciation. But you know, it works.
Dude, I spend every day of my life looking for chances to make a cask of Amontillado joke.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like, and if you were gonna drug the warlocks, why wouldn't you just use, like, an enchanted wine that makes them, like, say the truth or something, or, like, fucking kills them, who cares? Puts them in a coma, who gives a shit? Like, give them a wine that puts them in a coma for, like, 4 weeks so you can sort out the Michael problem.
They can't just kill the warlocks for thought crimes. That would be wild if they just killed, or like all of them for association with a crime. That would be nuts. Well, anyway, let's get to the rest of this episode, huh?
Yeah.
So after they finish doing mind reading and having both of them go like, here's a list of people I killed in what order on what dates. And then the other guy's like, God, I can't wait to kill the witches. Then they both go, oh, sleepy time tea. I've fallen for it again. And both the warlocks pass out. They're like, no, the chamomile. It's gotten me. And yeah, it's unclear if it was like a spell or it was the wine or something. Who knows? They're asleep now and now they have information, I guess.
Yeah.
Sure.
There seems like a million different ways we could have gotten this info that wasn't this sequence, but alas,
You know, like the witches not being fucking stupid for the witches to like look at what's happening in front of them and go, I don't think these guys like us.
Yeah. It's not. Well, and the thing is, they don't even like, they go there to get information about Michael and they get none. They get none information about Michael. They're like, oh, Michael's in the woods. And then they just are like, but we can use this other information they coincidentally thought about, I guess, for a later date, right. I suppose.
Like, they killed one of their own that we don't know, and we don't know even how to use that information because we don't know his relationship is to anyone, but we got it, right?
I don't think they even know who that guy is, because, like, literally Ariel's, like, thinking in his head, they don't know about how I killed John Henry. I love thinking about people in the third person by their first names in my head all the time.
I like how they assumed it was a warlock and not like some historical figure, because that's where I would have gone.
Just or like his what? Boyfriend, like, or like someone he just didn't like. Like they're just like, oh, John Henry, I know who that is.
Right, I know, yeah.
He was really good at shoveling coal.
Yeah. Oh my God, fucking John Henry. But that's their trip to the boys' school, and now we're back at the witch house. Yippee, we're at Miss Robichaud's house, and we're doing another giant meal.
It's time for more
meal.
People to eat a meal and talk in a circle. Yippee.
They do a lot of cooking at Miss Robichaud's.
Yeah, so all the witches are gathered around. Also, Behold, who's just like, I guess, in on, this Langdon guy sucks.
Yeah.
And, Mallory has a big moment of like, oh no, I wish nobody told me that me becoming the Supreme was killing Cordelia. I feel bad about it. Which, yeah, I guess they just told her in passing, like someone mentioned, hey, you're probably the Supreme, because like that wasn't on screen.
It didn't happen. Yeah.
No one mentioned it.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
Yeah, no one mentioned it to her. The last time we saw anyone talking to her about it, they were just like, yeah, Michael is the Supreme, so it's killing Cordelia. And then I guess someone off screen was like, we've decided arbitrarily that Michael's not the Supreme, actually, and you're going to be the Supreme, despite him already passing the test of the Seven Wonders, which, I have to be real, folks, according to the lore they've set up and according to the rules, I don't think we get to say Michael's not the Supreme, because the only criteria is that you have to pass the Seven Wonders test, and he did that. So regardless of whether he did that by being Satan's baby or whatever, he still did it. He still did the test. So I don't think it really matters.
At worst, we're going to have two Supremes, right? Yeah. Like, if Mallory is one, that just means we are now in the realm of there are two Supremes, because there's two people who can do it.
Right.
But no, they're like, we've just decided we actually, maybe the Warlocks are right about this one, because they're like, well, we don't want Michael to be the Supreme. And I'm like, I don't think that's part of it, because, like, Fiona was a dog shit Supreme that everyone hated, and they couldn't just make her not the Supreme because they hated her. I don't think you get to be like, no, we hate you, so you're not the Supreme. Like, I think that if you pass the test, you just get to be the Supreme. And I think maybe the Warlocks are onto something about the witches being close-minded, because I think Michael... Like, frankly, I think he deserves to be the Supreme. He did the only thing you have to do to be the Supreme. And I think that they should honor that.
I'm still unclear on how being the Supreme helps, like, Michael or anybody. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how does this do the apocalypse?
So, it's so he can be in control of the witches. The idea is if you're the Supreme, you are de facto the leader of all magic people, which already wasn't the case because they were racist. So, like, there already was, like, a large selection of magic users that were not under the umbrella of the Supreme. But I guess now everyone is the idea is that everyone has to listen to the Supreme, no matter who it is, even though, like, quite clearly what happened immediately was what everyone thought would happen, which is even if there is a boy Supreme, all of the witches will just go, nah, and, like, not listen to him. So I don't see how it helps him at this point, Slowbeef. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because you think that, bringing up that exact point, you'd think that if that was the case, if, like, the crux is like, oh no, someone from another group of magic users is going to be the Supreme, you'd think that that would have been a bigger deal with, like, the voodoo people, of like, oh well, we've got a voodoo witch who can do the Seven Wonders, like, she can be the Supreme. Like, that could have been, like, an actually interesting plot point in season 3 that they didn't explore at all. Even a little bit. But they are this season, because we cannot have a boy Supreme. Season 3 was Coven, racism. This is season 8, Apocalypse, Coven, sexism. Yeah.
Flipping over the barbecue. So, Delia confirms to her that, like, nah, it's cool. I like dying and being dead, and you get to be the Supreme, and that's tight. I think it's cool. Behold has a moment of, like, hey, so, like, not to ruin the mood or anything, but, like, the son of Satan is about to take the reins of everything in the world and probably end the world. So, like, do we want to, like, hustle this up a little bit? And Cordelia's like, no, you little piece of shit. It's my special day for my special little lady, because she gets to be the Supreme. So, no, we aren't doing any business today. You're gonna deal with it. Which, I'll be real, I think they're trying to have it be, like, a cool point of, like, see, this is how much Cordelia cares. But, like, we the viewers know that Michael Langdon does destroy the world. Right. So, like,
yeah, we are in a time
she's wrong.
Here.
She should have fucking hustled. Yeah, they should have fucking got on the ball.
Like, absolutely.
Actually, Cordelia's fucking wrong.
Yep.
But you know what we do have time for? A flashback inside of a flashback. And this is going to be all the most fucking infuriating flashback, because not only is it a flashback inside of a flashback, it's a flashback that we extremely don't need. We get a title card that says 3.5 years before the apocalypse. And the last time we saw a title card that had a time on it, it said 3 years before the bomb. So I guess that this particular flashback is 6 months before the flashback we're currently in, I guess. They could have just said 6 months ago, and I would have been like, yeah, I assume 6 months from the fucking flashback we're in, not 6 months from the apocalypse we started this fucking season in, because I've already forgotten about that 8 episodes ago.
And who's paying attention? You know what I mean? Like,
that's what I'm
saying. Viewers, who's like, right? Yeah, like doing the math.
It's nothing for no one except for people like me who are retroactively watching it and making notes about it. And then it's a flashback to Cordelia doing like a nasty ritual where she cuts her hand over the fire and quote unquote almost dies. And her hand starts rotting, and then she speaks Latin and starts crying, and then Myrtle comes back to life and is pissed off about it. And then that's the whole flashback. And it's like, well, we're like 6 episodes past caring why Myrtle or how Myrtle got here, I think. Like,
right.
That was something to address 6 episodes ago when Myrtle showed up. Not now. We know that Myrtle's here, and frankly, at this point, I don't care anymore how she got here. It didn't add new information, like, oh, the way we revived Myrtle made her unkillable or gave her a new power or something. It's just, no, this is how Cordelia revived Myrtle. And it's like, well, I fucking figured, dude. Like, I figured she did a spell and brought her back. Like, I don't need a flashback 6 episodes later to explain how she did it. Like, I know already. Yippee. Also,
the witches
Madison
do this all the time.
Yeah.
Cordelia literally walks into the bunker after the bunker incident and just goes, all right, bring all the fucking ladies out, lay them out. And then just breathes on them real hard and they all stand up and go, what the heck? Like, it's not impressive to revive somebody at this point. She literally just like breathes on people and they're like, whoo, feeling better.
Yeah, and Madison and Zoe back in season 3 revived Kyle when they were like baby witches, when they didn't know shit about magic. So like, it's not that hard to revive somebody. So it's not even like, oh, this is a show that like Cordelia used a bunch of her magic and it almost killed her. I'm like, if it almost killed her, that's a fucking skill issue, frankly.
It is though, because Cordelia sucks.
She does.
Like, 3 of her witches ended up in hell, and one of them choked to death in her house. Like, she's an awful teacher. Like,
and yeah. Nobody knows
I truly do think, the funniest part of Apocalypse is, like, Apocalypse is retroactively making Fiona have some really good points.
Yeah.
Not really where you want to be.
True. But that's where Delia's like, now we have to fire the first shot at the warlocks. I'm like, maybe we could do that instead of having this like Last Supper situation. But hey, that's just my opinion. And now it's a walk sequence. And if you've watched Coven or this show, you know that they love these walk sequences where all the witches are dressed in black and it's a slow motion walk with like music playing. And they go to where John Henry was killed. I don't know how they gleaned that information, because despite Ariel being like, I loved killing John Henry and doing murders, he didn't like say where he died. So they just went to this random gas station and were like, yeah, I bet this is where a Satanist lady exploded John Henry. And they're right. And he's just a pile of ash on the ground. And I guess the gas station didn't fucking explode him, even though he was on fire right next to the gas pump. Somehow only he caught on fire, which was very cool for the gas station.
And also, he burned completely, which is like nuts.
That's like cremated.
Like, that's like, because the thing is, like, she used like a regular lighter, to be clear. It wasn't like, she's not a wizard, to the point that she yells, no more spells, before right. She lights him on fire. It's regular fire. He would like burn a normal amount, die, and there would still be it would be a charred corpse and skeleton. But like, do you know how hard it is to burn bone? It's unbelievable. So like, yeah, I don't know why he just became ash. Like, that's so wild.
Made of paper. Wizards are made of paper.
And yeah, so they... So they're like, Mallory, get over here, remake this guy. And she's just like, okay, I guess. And just kind of like stands and goes like, and just a bunch of ash gathers up into a pile. And then they cut away and it's just like, John Henry's here. And it's like, oh, okay. I guessed.
Yay.
And yeah, also like not... Oh, right. And they also do like a black and white thing to be like, ooh, they're doing the Seven Wonders test thing again, but for Mallory. But yeah, as helpfully pointed out in the notes here, Liz, not one of the Seven Wonders.
Reversing time for somebody is not, is it a cool power? Sure. It's not one of the Seven Wonders. Queenie, Coco, and Zoe all also have weird one-off powers that they can all do. Queenie having pain transference, Coco with the gluten and calories thing, and Zoe with the death vagina. None of those counted as a Seven Wonders, so this also doesn't count as a Seven Wonder, and I don't know why we're doing the black and white film thing.
I apologize for being pedantic, but I absolutely do understand why the calorie thing is not one of the Seven Wonders. But anyway, sorry.
That's fair.
That's more of the seven, like, oh, neat.
Yeah. It's one of the seven things you can say or not.
Cool and useful power.
Seven things you can do, maybe.
Seven spells I could give or take, you know, I could take or leave. It's fine.
Seven spells I hate about you.
Seven party tricks you can use to get a free beer, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
And they're, like, in a barn for this black and white sequence, which is very strange. And then, like, a title card plays in the black and white silent film style that's, like, a new Supreme has risen. And I'm like, fucking why? She hasn't done any of the Seven Wonders. What are you talking about? She's done zero of them. She doesn't know any of the Seven Wonders. But then they ask John Henry a bunch of questions. And they're like, why did the warlocks kill you? And he's like, the who? Who killed me? No, a lady killed me. It was this, like, little lady who was, like, a little goth grandma. And then Cordelia is like, what woman? When he says a woman killed him. And this is, oh, my fucking God. We'll get there, but, like... This is where the name comes from. But this is not the end of the episode. There's still, like, we still have to imply that Coco's God, actually.
Yeah. So let's hustle through this back half here, because we're back half. We have, like, very little left in the episode, and honestly, most of it's just, like, so nothing. So it is the next day. Coco's just sitting eating ice cream at the table. But then she, like, uses her, like, she takes a big bite of the ice cream and then uses her power and goes, ah, damn it, there's calories in ice cream, which, like, stupid. Like, of course, stupid. Are you dumb? Like, what the fuck do you mean? There's calories in ice cream. Like, A, it has a label. B, stupid. Like, of course it does. Everyone knows this. If you were helping rich white woman get thin, you would know ice cream has calories. That's not, like, a high bar. So Delia walks in and goes, not every power is a blessing. And Coco goes, oh, how am I never going to eat another corn dog? And, like, I don't know, man. I know how many calories are in a corn dog, and I eat it no problem. Once again, skill gap in Coco every step of the way. Our podcast is stronger than Coco. That's the great and terrible AHS promise. then Delia's like, all right, so Michael knows a woman who sucks and is bad to witches. And as we know, all women are allies to witches implicitly until proven otherwise.
Right.
Which is a wild thing for Delia to think, is just, like, every woman is on our side. It's like, not
except
really.
For the voodoo,
like,
women.
Christians.
Yeah, no.
You know, the voodoo women hate them, you know.
The neighbors from season 3. Remember the lady who didn't like them because they thought they were evil for her son?
Uh-huh. The Christian?
Yeah.
Christians historically not big fans of witches. Mm-hmm. That's not really, they don't love that. And then she goes, well, you know what? You can tell where she is, Coco. Go get her. And Coco goes, huh? And she goes, yeah, you can go figure it out.
Yeah, she's like, you have to go,
like,
hunt.
Sends her on her merry way.
You have to go find that traitor. I'm like, what do you mean that traitor? Like, you don't even know who this lady is. You have no idea. She hates witches. What the fuck are you talking about, this traitor? And she's going to repeat this, like, for the rest of the episode. This traitor. This. I think they, at this point in filming, remembered they named this episode Traitor, and they were like, oh, shit. Oh fuck! We forgot to have a traitor. Which you know who is an actual traitor? The warlocks. But that's not ever really addressed in any meaningful way. But yeah,
right.
The good news is Coco can use her powers of knowing when gluten's in something to A, know who Mead is when no one else does, B, find her and know where she is at all times, and C, stage a coup against Mead, which does work, and they catch her outside of a butcher shop and they capture her, and that's really all you need to know about that sequence.
Also, it's the same butcher shop. She's just back after her son telekinetically murdered a butcher with knives. That's crazy.
That's right.
But yeah, she's allowed,
pass through that
she's
real
allowed
quick.
To go back there.
Yeah, she's just
funny.
Back. And she's back and she's doing the same shit again, too. She's like, I'm going to need 2 goat trotters for my Satan shit. And they're just like, whatever, lady. And so, yeah, they catch her outside and they just like scoop her up. And it's... So she comes out of the butcher shop. Coco follows her outside and is just like, hey, I hope you like burning in hell. And Mead just like pulls out a gun and goes, fuck you, and shoots her in the chest, which I gotta be honest, cool move by Mead. I appreciate Mead being like, no, like I know your game. I literally killed a guy and yelled, no more spells. I'm ready for this. And then, yeah, then Mead's like, I'm gonna boil you in my crock pot, which isn't
but she's
like
not
a
witch,
thing.
Right? Like,
she's not a witch. She doesn't do like a witch's pot. It's not really
right.
a thing.
Yeah.
You also don't boil stuff in crock pots, but that's neither here nor there.
There's that too, right? Then, yeah, this is wrong on a lot of levels.
So she gets kidnapped then by the 2 albino men. I thought these were the guys that were like the witch haters from the coven season. I thought that's who these were supposed to be, is those like guys who wanted to kill the witches at any cost or whatever.
No, the witches have always had these albino men even since like season 1 or season 3 episode 1. Like these albino men have like always worked for the witches, but like there's no indicator as like, to why or why they're albino.
Spalding? It's like Spalding, right? You mean, or
well, no, Spalding is also like there, but like in when they go pick up Zoe in episode 1 of season 3, the albino men are there with Hurdle, and they pick up Zoe and take her away after she accidentally kills her boyfriend with her vagina. I don't know why the witches have only exclusively albino men in their like in their repertoire of like employees, but that's apparently a prerequisite for working for the witches, is their quote unquote bodyguards, I guess. I don't know. I have no idea what that's supposed to mean. Maybe they don't have enough testosterone, or they've got too much, and so it helps with the magic. I have no idea. But they kidnap Mead.
We gotta speed run writing these fucking warlocks out of this show, because we got too much going on and we need to get these fucking guys out of here. So it's time to go back to the boys' school. Baldwin is talking to one of the other warlock leaders. I think it's Ariel.
Mm-hmm.
And is just like, hey, you're not gonna believe it. And then he like pulls out a bespoke weed grinder and like opens up the top and is like, check this shit out. And he's like, what? It's powder. Is this like coke? Like, what is it? He's like, it's like the most deadly powder that anyone's ever made. It's a powder that if you breathe it, it like kills you super bad. And like, yeah, we've got a lot of those. Those are really easy to make, actually. It turns out there's like a lot of ways to kill people. We're like quite susceptible to damage. And then as he's explaining, like, it'll make your organs like turn to liquid and you shit out your organs, and then they come back and then you shit them out again, and it's so bad. Then he's like puffs it into Ariel's face, and Ariel's like, yo, no, what, which is like a reasonable reaction to having that happen.
Right.
And then Baldwin's like, just kidding, it only kills women, which is like so crazy.
That would have been so, like, that's such a funny way to like explain that it only kills women, by like just pocket sanding it into another man's face and being like, don't worry, this is misogyny, Anthrax. It only kills women. It won't kill men. Oh, my God.
And yeah, so they're like, sick, we can use this to kill all of the witches. Which, again, like, if the mission was just killing the witches, that
that's not hard. They're susceptible to damage. You can just shoot them, man. Like, it's not... It's not like they don't like have like some like their magic. Sure, that it's not like particularly helpful in a combat situation. The whole thing is like you're trying to win via diplomacy so that like there is still a like magic community to steal the reins of when you steal the reins. If you wanted to just blow the whole org up, that is not hard.
You could literally just do it. Yeah, with a gun. He just had a gun. He wasn't even that good at shit, but, you know.
He wiped out all the voodoo ladies, like, with one gun. Like, the witches are extremely killable. They have to sleep, and if they've got their guard down, you can just kill them. But, alas, we needed, checks notes, Satan, baby, to help us, I guess. Sure. But as soon as they're both,
so
like...
they start dancing around. Yeah.
Yeah. As they're like, yippee, we get to kill the witches with our misogyny anthrax. Delia's like, psych, idiots, I've been here in the boys' school the whole time. Me and my two albino men are here to arrest you for crimes. Also, a woman already made this powder in 1590 that only killed men, and then they killed her for it. And I'm like, that's a different powder than Delia. They do different things.
it's like brutally stupid where she's just like, yeah, we already made a powder that killed all men and that's exactly the same as what you made, and it's like literally is the opposite. It's like you just switched the gender, that's not impressive. And it's like, okay, maybe if it's like a spell and it's just like you have to copy replace some words or something, but like this is a chemical agent. Delia, you're out of your depth. This is not your space. You're a witch. You don't know chemical weapons. Shut up. Delia then just goes, hey, I know you're all under arrest. The end. Sucks to suck. And then Cordelia like lights the powder on fire, which I gotta be honest, if I was a woman standing in the room with the kills women powder and then someone just lit it on fire, I would be like, what the fuck? Because like, you don't know if that's better. Like,
right?
There's so many things that if you burn them, it's so much worse.
Yeah, I think it's good that we inhale the stupid smoke. I love inhaling the smoke of the anthrax that only kills women. I love being in the room with the smoke of the anthrax that only kills women. And then Cordelia does the thing that I said she should have done like 7 episodes ago in another situation and just Scarlet Witches their mouths away. Seems like that would have been super useful in many other scenarios before this one. And then it cuts to us... walking the two warlocks and Mead to 3 stakes to burn them like we've already done like 9 times with other characters. I don't know why we're burning Mead. I know why we're burning the warlocks because that's like what they do to magic people. I don't know why we're doing that to Mead. Because she's just a lady. Yeah. She's literally just a human lady who's like, who just doesn't like witches, which I don't think is a crime. At least not a magic crime. They don't even know that Mead hates witches or that she's related to Michael. They're just like, yeah, fuck this lady. Fuck this goth lady. We're burning her also.
It feels like when you have access to bubbles and you've captured a secret op, like a secret agent who works for your enemies.
Agent of Mossad.
You'd like have her sit down with bubbles and an agent of Mossad. Great point. Have her sit down with bubbles to be like, hey, let's see what else this lady knows. Because clearly she's a little more hooked up than anyone thinks. Let's find out what her deal is. Because then you could find out she was attached to Michael Langdon and how and be like, oh, fuck. And then prove to the warlocks, we gotta deal with this.
Yeah, but don't worry. Witches can't kill warlocks because it's boys' rules or something. So John Henry will kill the warlocks and then they'll kill Mead, question mark. Mead gets to keep her mouth for some reason, whereas the warlocks don't. I guess because they know she can't cast a spell. So she just starts hooting and hollering about Satan. And then a third albino man, which is just one of the other two albino men that they copy and pasted according to the credits of this episode, light them all on fire. And it's really bad CGI fire, and Coco is like not super into watching it. And then Zoe's like, don't worry, you don't have to look at it. And I'm like, well, then why did you make her come along to the burning of three people she doesn't know?
the literal core conceit of this whole thing and why you do a big spectacle burning is so people watch it.
Right.
So
yeah,
that it
yeah.
is witnessed and it is understood that this will have, it's making an example. That's why she's there, is to look. It's Zoe's stupid here. Zoe's wrong. You do have to watch.
Yippee. And that's the episode.
That's it. Yeah, that's the end of the episode. You might think that's a crazy thing to end on, just getting rid of the warlocks and also meet at the same time for no discernible reason. But yeah, we're done with those characters.
You're right.
We don't need them no more. Yeah. Yeah, great point, you know? next time we'll be watching through Sojourn. What?
I don't know, man. Where? I don't know why it's called that. I even remember what happens in the next episode, and I don't remember why it's called that.
Well, if you want to learn why it's called that, you're going to have to tune in next time. We'll see you then. Have a great night.
Oh, God.
Bye.
We're not even 70%. All right, bye.